Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mummers, the podcast. I'm Zoe Hardman, a TV presenter, a radio broadcaster and a mummy to my absolutely gorgeous 19-month-old daughter, Luna.
And I'm Georgia Dayton. I work in marketing for House of Fraser and I'm mum to a cheeky little boy, Axel, who's 20 months.
Yeah, and together we are Made by Mummers.
We are.
So the story is, Georgia and I met in a coffee shop whilst we were both pregnant, living in Cheltenham at the time. We'd been dragged kicking and screaming by our other half.
Off to the countryside.
Off to the countryside. Side you will go. They're both sportsmen and we ended up having to leave our friends and our family, and thank goodness we met that day.
I know, seriously, what would we have done?
I don't even want to think about it.
So we spent the next year or so drinking coffee, trying to get back into shape, and then of course launching our mummy blog, Made by Mummers. So Made by Mummers is a blog and an Instagram account. You can go there for advice, inspiration, get to know some of the products we love, but also a bit of love and support because we all need it.
Yeah, the minute you become a mum, you're like, oh, I need to give you a warm hug. On this series of podcasts, we're going to be chatting to some of our favourite celebrity females, which is really exciting, all about their experiences, from everything from being pregnant to the birth to the aftermath, which we know is very... Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a sleep expert talking to us about her insider tips.
She reckons she can get your baby to sleep through the night from 9 weeks.
I mean, I can't wait to hear about this.
Goals.
We're also going to give you some much-needed beauty tips, some products for quick fixes as well, baby classes, toys worth investing in.
There is a lot of plastic, colourful rubbish out there.
Yeah, we're going to sift through all of that. And how to travel as well with your little one as well. So you name it, we're going to cover it. Should we get on with it?
Let's go.
So this week, we are talking about pregnancy. And I am in the middle of it.
And I am not.
Which I'm devastated about. Pregnancy. Did you enjoy being pregnant?
I did enjoy it. I didn't love it. I think, you know, some women are like, oh, it's the best time of my life. And I kind of expected to be like that, but I wasn't. I just didn't really... Yeah, I didn't love it, didn't hate it. I didn't really have a bad time, didn't really have a good time. Just somewhere in the middle. It was one of those things that you knew what the end was going to be. So yeah, it was always going to be worth it.
I think the difference between having, women loving being pregnant and hating it is what happens to your body and the changes that you go through. Some women sail through pregnancy and that's really, really great for them. You know, they don't get any ailments and they're just, it's like they're not even pregnant.
Some
of them don't even get morning sickness, for example. And then other women have such a tough time and it's so exhausting and they're sick for the entire 9 months and, you know, they're in excruciating pain and they have all these complications and that is hideous.
That is hideous.
So were you somewhere in the middle with that?
I was somewhere in the middle. I mean, I found out I was pregnant when I was about 5 or 6 weeks and I just wasn't feeling right. And very strangely, I was at work and I just got up and left. Like, it was really weird. I mean, who does that? Just gets up and leaves their desk, doesn't even tell anyone you're going home. And I just felt awful. I felt like I was going to pass out or I knew I needed to get home.
Yep.
So I told one of my colleagues, I was like, listen, I've just got to get out of here. I'm going. Bye. Like, see you later. Phoned a friend who has a baby. And I was like, I'm not feeling very well. I knew she was kind of like around my home. And I was like, oh, do you want to come over? She was like, yeah. Sort of describing my symptoms to her. And she was like, you're not pregnant, are you? And I was like, no, definitely not. not. No, we're just not. You know, we're not there yet. We're gonna leave that. We've got too many weddings. We've got too many parties to go to. And then I sort of went upstairs and I had an old pregnancy test. Did the test, but I didn't have the box with the instructions, so I didn't actually know what any of those lines meant. So I'd done this test and I was like, well, I don't really know what that means. No, I'm not pregnant. So I sent a picture to my friend who was coming over, and she was like, I sort of think that means you're pregnant. I was like, no, I don't think it does. So she went to Boots, bought me one of those tests, did the test. I was actually weeing in front of her 2-year-old who was there. I was like literally seeing my future in front of me. And I was pregnant, and my husband was working away, so I wasn't going to see him for another couple of days. So I just thought, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. We wasn't planning it. We wasn't really like even there quite yet. And I just waited. It was his birthday in 2 days' time.
You waited for 2 days?
I waited for 2 days. I didn't answer my phone to him. I don't know what he thought he was.
You were having an affair?
He probably did think I was having an affair. I couldn't speak to him. I literally couldn't, because I knew if I spoke to him, I was going to tell him. So I had to just make excuses. So like, he was messaging me like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, the hair dry's on. Oh, sorry, I'm just about to go to the gym. Oh, sorry. Yeah, see you Saturday. And then I like put the pregnancy test in a box and gave it to him as a gift.
Oh, that's such and it was a lovely really story. Nice.
Yeah.
And he was over the moon.
He was over the moon. Yeah. He definitely wanted it a lot longer than I had wanted it.
Yeah, because you guys have been together since you were 17 and you're now nearly 30.
Yeah, exactly. We've been together a long time. We definitely have waited.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, how did you find out you were pregnant?
Well, obviously mine's a bit of a different story, because I have my sister, very, very sadly, was diagnosed with the early menopause at the age of 34. So she got married. We had this wonderful wedding for her, and she was madly in love with her sort of university sweetheart. And she came off the pill and started getting all of these really horrendous symptoms, but she was sort of confused between whether they were pregnancy symptoms or something else that was sinister that was going on. It transpired that she obviously wasn't pregnant, that she had been taking the pill since she was 16, and the estrogen from the pill had been masking her menopause. So poor thing. I mean, literally the worst time of her life. Obviously confirmed that she didn't have any eggs left and didn't, you know, was never going to be able to have a child of her own. And very sadly, that was the demise of her marriage as well. So we had a different experience getting there, because it's obviously hereditary. My grandmother went through it at 42. My mum went through it at 40. So we knew that there was early menopause sort of in the family history. But at 34, you still think you've got at least, you know,
6 years.
6 years left of being all right with it. But sadly, Catherine missed the boat. So she rung me up and said, listen, this is the situation. It is hereditary. There is a high chance you're going to go through this as well. You need to go and get your AMH levels tested. And if you can, you need to get your eggs frozen as quickly as you possibly can. So I went to a clinic. My AMH was 2.3. An average for a woman my age is somewhere between sort of 25 and 30, I think. So just very low ovarian reserve. So I had a really tough decision to make at that point, which was, I'd only met Dozza, my now husband, 7 months prior to this. So we were very early on in our relationship. Yeah. But I knew that I wanted to have a baby with him. So I had this conversation with him, and he was amazingly understanding. And he said, listen, and I said, look, I'm going to get my eggs frozen because it's something that I want to do. There's no pressure on you, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So I went through 14 days of injecting my stomach, trying to harvest. They found 5 follicles on my left hand side, none on my right ovary, and then over the course of the 14 days every single egg apart from one died, which was so
you go through all of that. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely heartbreaking. We got to the end of the cycle and the specialist said to me, we're not going to harvest the egg because we like to take between 15 and 20 when we go through this process, and we've obviously only got one, so forget it. And I remember walking out of the clinic and just howling on my own in the street, thinking I'll never have a child.
So did that mean he was saying, forget it, like, you're not going to have a child naturally?
She basically said to me, you'll never have a baby naturally. We haven't given you the right concoction of drugs, so we need to go back and look, because there are eggs there. So mine wasn't as final as hers.
Yeah.
But I knew it was like a ticking time bomb. Mm. You know, every day that went past, I thought I was one day less, you know, to having a baby.
Yeah.
For me, that's what it felt like. I remember ringing Dozza up and saying, that's it, we're never going to have a baby naturally. And he said, look, let's enjoy the rest of the summer. We'll start trying in September and let's just try naturally. And on December 31st, New Year's Eve, we conceived Luna and completely naturally. Took us 4 months, and it was like, you know, that's why I get goosebumps thinking about it, because I just never thought it was going to be possible for me. So I count my blessings every single day with these pregnancies.
Yeah, of course. I think a lot of women go through that. I remember at NCT, you know, you go around the room and you say how you found out you were pregnant and how you got to that stage. And two out of the six women in the room were actually at their appointment about to go through IVF when they found out they were pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy, isn't it? Sometimes it's just that relaxing, taking the stress out of it that gets you there. I mean, I hadn't been on the pill since I was 21, so I conceived when I was 26 or 27, I can't remember. And really, essentially, we could have been trying for five or six years. But as soon as we stopped thinking about it and just decided we'd wait for a little bit, or we were pregnant. So yeah, it's definitely
everybody has their own, I hate using the word, but their own journey to get to baby.
Yeah,
and they're very powerful stories that you hear. I mean, you're taught in your teens, you know, don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then the minute you want to get pregnant, you can't.
Yeah,
it's not as easy as you think it is.
No,
there's lots of complications. You know, people waiting later on in life to have kids, and I don't know. I think, yeah, people really have gone through pain to get their babies.
They have. And then once you get to it, you're, you know, feeling, you know, oh my gosh, this is the best. This is a miracle.
Mm.
And then you feel rubbish. It's suddenly like a massive down. Like, oh, and now I feel like I've got a hangover for 5 months.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's hard.
Yeah.
For me, the first and the second pregnancies have been so different. I don't know if anyone listening agrees with this. The first one, I was quite sort of smug pregnant woman just inside. Just like, this is so easy. I remember being in Pasha in Ibiza and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning and I was 6 months pregnant and I was like in the front, like, woo, woo. You know, now, well, this pregnancy at 6 months, I've been in bed every single night by about 7:30, just like clinging onto my pregnancy pillow, like howling into it, just being exhausted. But that's because we've got a toddler to run around afterwards.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't actually know how you do it. I forget that you're pregnant sometimes.
Oh,
not so much now, but earlier on.
Yeah.
I totally would forget, because you just sound like you were doing the same thing as me, but obviously like 10 times more tired.
Growing a human at the same time.
Yeah, casually growing a human in your tummy.
Yeah, pregnancies is an amazing, wondrous thing to go through, and it can cause a lot of issues as well at the same time, and it can make you feel all kinds of things. And yeah, it can be a very scary time. It can be, you know, it's obviously wrapped up in all this amazement and love and, you know, excitement and stuff, but it can freak you out as well, and it can make you feel very low. And, you know, I think it's really important to support pregnant women, because we are going through like huge changes in our body.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many rules. Like, I forgot about that. I had a friend over the other day, and she's very, you know, early stages of pregnancy, and she was asking me all these questions about like what she can eat and can she take a bath, a hot bath, and I'd forgotten about all of that stuff. So sometimes it is really daunting when you start searching on the internet for, you know, what can you eat, what can you do. But at the end of the day, everyone's experience is different and everyone handles it differently.
Yeah, and my advice is get a mumspiration. You know, that person that's been pregnant maybe once or twice that you're really close to, and you can kind of chat to her and find out all the sort of ins and outs, because it can be so overwhelming. So yeah, you're my mumspiration.
Oh, that's very
now
nice.
Do me, do you?
And you're my mum.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan.
You're
a bit slow,
mine.
But yeah. Okay. Should we get into the pregnancy chat? I can't
Let's
wait.
Let's go.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, I'm very excited. It's our first ever podcast, and I actually think we've nailed the ultimate guest here today, George. She is, first and foremost, an amazing mummy. Beautiful. I'm looking at her now. Absolutely stunning. She presents The One Show on BBC One. She's now an author as well. The lovely Alex Jones.
Oh, hello both. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, congratulations on your first podcast. Oh. I hope I'm okay as a first guest.
we'll be reviewing you afterwards, so we'll let you know. Alex, thank you so much for doing this today.
Pleasure, honestly.
You've had such an exciting journey, really, to falling pregnant. What's your story?
So our story was, Charlie and I met quite late on. I mean, we were in our early 30s. So I'd had a relationship before. It hadn't worked out with a lovely boy who is still lovely, lovely. But actually, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. So I met Charlie when I moved to London for The One Show. And we were just messing about. We were having a nice time. I mean, we were going to restaurants and bars and just really having nice holidays.
Those are the days.
And, you know, and I really thought, oh, gosh, is this man gonna ask me to marry him or what? And Charlie's like laid back. He's, you know, such a typical Kiwi, really laid back. And it took him a while, let's just say. But then he surprised me out of the blue one day. We were in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco and got married. And then literally 4 minutes later, so are you going to start trying then?
Oh, yeah, the question.
Yeah, the question.
It comes, doesn't it?
So we were like, yeah, of course. You know, we knew we wanted children, but we had been a bit blasé, really, because we thought we were a bit bulletproof, even though, you know, we were drinking quite a lot of wine, to be fair, and, you know, eating quite a rich diet. But then I was exercising and all the rest of it. But I did think, you know, it'll be fine. We'll be fine. And actually, that was really naive of us, because you never know. Is the thing.
No, of course you don't. It doesn't matter, you know, what your lifestyle is. You never know
how
it's going to be.
So I did this documentary for BBC One all about fertility, because I just felt that people weren't really talking about it. And I didn't know whether or not we'd have a problem. We hadn't started trying at that point. And I mean, trying's a funny phrase, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, but you do. You have to. Practice.
It's like having sex, isn't it, really? But, you know, yeah, we hadn't, you know, but anyway, we weren't in the frame
of mind. You started having a lot of sex.
We did.
Great.
Suddenly. And we started drinking a lot of Nutribullet. that sort of thing. And the wine was kind of consigned to the weekend. Yeah, you know, so we made a concerted effort. And so, yeah, we were lucky. We fell pregnant pretty quickly. But it was because lots of our friends suddenly, who were kind of mid-30s, were talking about, you know, IVF, donor eggs, how they'd had many miscarriages, how it was becoming a real issue for them. And I thought, oh my goodness, we really need to start thinking about this seriously, because it's not, you know, it's the one thing I knew above everything else. You know, career, I mean, takes a backseat. I always wanted a family. And
did that scare you?
Really scared me. And then we started filming the documentary, and I agreed, and I don't know why, to having a test to see how fertile I was on camera.
See, that's interesting, because there's been a lot in the press about it recently, that a lot, you know, that should, people should be allowed to have that, because it might make you make different life choices, mightn't you, really? Mm.
Well, I didn't realise, you see, you could have a blood test, and it is something you can ask your GP for. But of course, until you're in that zone, you don't really know. So we did the test as part of the filming, and luckily it was fine. And for somebody my age, I was 37 at the time, my
AMH
count, yeah, that's AMH right done. Yeah, yep. it was quite high. It looked okay. So, but then Charlie was like, Al, that morning before the results came, he said, do you realise what you're doing here? And I thought, actually, it is such big news that I'm about to receive. You know, it's going to change the course of our life potentially. And if the news is that, you know, it's not good, and my AMH count is very low, my egg reserve is low, I'm going to be devastated. I mean, luckily, that's not the way it went. But it really taught me how fragile the whole situation is.
You spend the whole of your 20s trying not to get pregnant. You're doing everything, you know, you're using all your protection and everything else. And then when you meet the one and you try, whenever that is, suddenly it becomes this thing that you think, I'm going to not be able to do this. And then it plagues you, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, I remember maybe even 5 years before meeting Charlie, or even less than that, you know, you'd be taking, kind of thinking, oh my gosh, I've forgotten to take my pills. So you take three at the same time, thinking, right, that'll do it. That'll work. And of course it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work like that. But psychologically, everything to not get pregnant. And then the minute your mindset switches, as you say, it becomes a focus, and that focus can be quite overwhelming and hard to deal with. But, you know, as I say, luckily for us, it happened relatively easy. And we were so, so grateful for that, because, you know, you just realise suddenly, oh, my goodness, it's the one thing I want above anything else.
Do you remember where you were when you found out?
Oh, yeah, casually.
I can't wait for this.
Well, you see, I didn't think it would happen as quick as it did. And so I'd been feeling a little bit ropey, but I just thought I was tired because of work. And then we went to a beer garden on a Thursday night, as we used to, back in the day. And I just had, like, I don't know, two or three glasses of rosé, which normally would have been fine, wouldn't touch the sides, really.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was, like, absolutely hammered. And I thought,
That does happen, doesn't it? Yeah.
And I just hadn't really enjoyed drinking it. I thought, oh, there's something not right here. And I thought, hang on a minute. And so my friend who used like ovulation kits. She used loads.
She was peeing on sticks a lot.
She was obsessed with peeing on sticks, right? And I just thought, I'm not going down that road. Anyway, she gave me a bag full of them. Bag for life, like to the top, full of sticks, because she had tons of them. I thought, I'll just see. And anyway, I used one, and suddenly this result came, which meant I was super, super fertile. And I thought, well, that's weird, isn't it? On the day where I'd choose to just have a go. And I thought, hang on, I wonder whether that means something else. Anyway, did a pregnancy test and it was positive.
So you did an ovulation test first. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then so I rang Charlie because I thought, well, he needs to know, obviously.
Of course.
This is great news. And I forgot he was in an open plan office and wasn't expecting the call. He was like,
so you did it over the phone?
Yeah.
You didn't wait face to face?
No. Didn't think, you see. So I just did the test and went, hi, guess what? It's amazing news. We're going to have a baby. And he went, oh, well, that's great news, Al. I'm just going to have to call you back. That is fantastic. And then he went out the office, called me back. And he was ecstatic. It was amazing.
That's amazing. So you're 38 at that point.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You find out you're pregnant. Then what goes through your mind? Because you're obviously a massive career girl.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, for me, I mean, instantly, I just imagined being at home. I don't know, something switched because it was just the thing that I'd really, really wanted always. And obviously, I love my job. And I mean, after about an hour, I got a grip on myself and thought, right, how am I actually going to do this? Because I'm going to need to work. And a lot of the pregnancy was spent kind of not worrying, but wondering how it would work. Because, you know, you have no idea. And then my boss, when I had to tell him, and I worried about telling him because I thought, oh, gosh, he's going to jump to conclusions now and think that I need a year off and there'll be somebody else doing my job. And I was worried about that.
Yeah.
But I told him and he was brilliant. And he said, so what do you think? I said, well, I think baby in April back. No, baby in January back by April. And he kind of went,
wow, soon.
To 3 months.
3 months.
Mm. Mm. Because I didn't know.
Yeah, you don't know, actually, until you get there. I mean, I've got friends at the moment who are pregnant for the first time. And they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to go back full time after 6 months. And I'm like, I mean, you won't. Because, you know, you're laughing in your head thinking, that's not going to happen.
It's too much, isn't it? But you make, I suppose, unrealistic promises without really knowing. And it doesn't matter how much your friends tell you or your family tells you, listen, you know, you need to really consider the impact this is going to have. And you just think, yeah, but I can do it. I mean, you know, capable, got everything sorted. And then a baby comes and blows all of that out of the water.
Everything goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What was driving your sort of desire, I guess, at that point to go back to work? Was it just that this is all you've kind of known and you've been at the one show for such a long time, you didn't want to miss out?
Yeah, it's that. I mean, there's lots of different reasons. So, I really wanted a baby, but I really do love my job and didn't want to lose it. And I am just one of these people who is pretty paranoid about things like that. Mm. I don't mind saying. I mean, I love the job and I respect it. And for that reason, I don't want to lose it. And, you know, in my head, I thought, oh, God, if I'm not there, will people forget? Will they get somebody who's better? All those things that I think a lot of women feel.
Yeah, they
but
do.
But they don't think they can say.
Isn't it sad that that's what we're thinking in our heads when we've just found out the happiest piece of news in the planet. And then we're suddenly thinking, am I going to lose my job?
Yeah, and people eyeing up their maternity cover. I remember doing that, thinking, oh, who are they going to get to replace me? And in the end, it was a friend who replaced me at work. But it's so daunting because you think, oh my God, they're going to like her better.
Yeah.
She's going to do a better job.
Yeah.
And really, you should just be concentrating on, you know, the baby and get, you know, getting to that moment when you meet them.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And if I did it again, and hopefully we will do it again, but I would definitely take longer off next time. But, you know, you can't say I wish in hindsight, because you just simply didn't know. And I mean, it was one of the big mistakes I made, I suppose.
Do you feel that now?
Yeah. Trying to go back at 3.5 months was, I mean, it wasn't full time, it was part time, but still, I think, yeah, it was way too soon. You know, I didn't think I was doing anything well. I didn't feel I was being a good mum, and I didn't feel I was being good at my job, because I'd lost a lot of confidence. You know, nothing fit, all my clothes were tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mind was elsewhere, my mind was at home. And so I was there in person, but just not in spirit. Mm. And that lasted probably, I don't know, 5.5 months. It started to feel a lot better. Mm. And then it got better from there. But yeah, it was too soon for me. I'm not saying, I mean, some people go back after 2 weeks and they find it fine, but it wasn't right for me.
I remember going back and doing my first heart show after I'd given birth to Luna. And I really wanted to take a kind of, you know, 4 or 5 months off and just be at home. But then they rung me up and said, do you want to come and do a Christmas special? And it was 10 weeks after she'd been born. And I remember leaving her, driving down from Cheltenham, and I was just in floods of tears the entire journey. Got to the studio, had to sit in the studio, pump.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, people at the window, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? It was the worst. And then at that point, I sat my boss down and said, look, I want to get back, and I know you want me to come back, and it's great, but I'll see you in March. And it was the best thing that I did, was just tucking myself away again. And because you can't, I don't know, for me, I just felt I was doing her a disservice. It was more about me wanting to be with her. I just couldn't wrench myself away from her.
No.
You know, she was with my mum and she was having a lovely time and it was fine. But
well, that's the thing. And you think, you know, you try. So, you know, I had decided to breastfeed and I found it really hard. I found it painful.
Yeah.
And it just didn't come very naturally. However, it was better after 6 weeks, and then I didn't want to stop. But knowing that I was going back to work, I thought, oh gosh, how is this going to work? So I'd be there pumping between production meeting and rehearsal, and then again before we went live to stop everything from leaking on television. It was just hideous. I mean, yeah, in hindsight, I'd put too much pressure on myself. Awful time those first few months.
You know, it
just wasn't good. And actually, I was still feeding Ted first thing in the morning and last thing at night. And that, you know, continued for a while. But then things just dry up, don't they? You know, and I was pumping the life out of myself.
It's like
that noise. But you know, saying that, I would try and do it again, because you know, I feel that probably is the best thing you can do at the beginning, and I try again. But if it didn't work next time, even at the beginning, I wouldn't put so much pressure on myself.
Yeah,
I'd
it's the pressure. It is the pressure, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do it for that long. But I'm glad that I tried, and I'm glad that I did. I mean, at the end of the day, they've been living in your tummy for nearly 10 months, haven't they? So that bond between you, you just want it to continue.
Oh, I'm sorry, people put so much pressure. The healthcare professionals do put a lot of pressure on you to breastfeed. You know, we're all told the advice that breast is best. But fundamentally, what's best is keeping your baby alive, keeping them healthy. They're gaining weight at the beginning and happy. And if you can't breastfeed, you can't breastfeed. No one said that to me at the beginning. They were like, go through it, through the pain, through the blood, through the pus. It's like, I'm sorry, no, I'm not. If I can't do it this time round, then I can't do it.
Yeah, even mum said, I think it was about 4 weeks in, and she was watching me and we were sitting in the lounge and I was like in tears. You know, and you know, it's when they latch and you sort of, you curl your toes and you think, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. And then they latch and, oh, it's like a cheese grater, isn't it?
It is,
And you think, oh. And mum said, Al, listen, nobody's forcing you to do this. You know, you can carry on, but you can also start combination feeding.
Yeah.
You know, just do what you think is best. And it was really nice actually to have my mum on side and, you know, just not being preachy. But to be fair, you know, I think for everybody, you just have to do what you feel you can manage.
Yep. Yeah, of course. And I think when you're pregnant and reading all the books and, you know, going to NCT classes, you always think it's just going to be a breeze. When it, you know, that's the last thing on your mind, actually. You know, yeah, I'm going to breastfeed. Yeah, of course I am. Why wouldn't I? And then it happens and you think, oh, hang on a minute. Yep. I didn't realise it was going to be this hard.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen. It, for some people, it just doesn't happen in that natural, you know, in inverted commas, the most natural thing in the world. It's sometimes it just doesn't happen like that.
No, they said, oh, they'll crawl up your chest.
Yes, with the, follow the line.
Find your nipple and then that'll be it. I was like, cool, that sounds all right.
Brilliant. And then come out crawling.
That's not how it worked at all.
So did you do any like NCT classes or any prep?
Yep, I did NCT. We did it all in a weekend.
Oh, did you? Fast track.
But I have to say, I loved my NCT group. I mean, we're all still really good friends. We had 7 couples. Aww. And we're still all very much in touch. And they were my lifeline.
Really?
At the beginning. Mm. And hopefully me to them. I mean, I still look at our WhatsApp thread that goes right back to, you know, when we were pregnant just before. And we were the first one to have Teddy. And then that sort of started all the births happening. And it was just, yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, 4 in the morning, there is nobody else really you can really talk to who's in exactly the same situation at the same time. I mean, obviously, my other friends were brilliant who'd already had children. But it's really hard to remember those exact weeks because at the time it's a fixation, isn't it? What should be happening in week 2? Well, of course, somebody who's got a 1.5-year-old can't remember week 2. So for me, and I know people think it's a middle class idea, but it was the best 220 or whatever it was pounds that I ever spent.
Yeah, yeah. So
hands down.
We talk about this, don't
we? Yeah, we do. I mean, I did it. I had a bit of a different experience. I didn't particularly enjoy it. But
should have come to ours.
Yours sounds amazing.
Some people just get lucky, don't they? I had to go on my own as well. I think that was part of why I didn't enjoy it. I turned up as like the girl on her own, everyone wondering where her partner was.
Oh, no.
Because my husband couldn't come because he was like playing football or whatever. So there was me on my own. But I did learn a lot, you know, about birth and, you know, how to prepare. There's lots of bouncing on balls.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, I thought, was kind of... It was good because, to be fair, I mean, even at 38, I had no idea how to change a nappy, I'll be honest. You know, so the basics were kind of all there. And it was lovely because everybody there was in their kind of late 30s. And it was a leveller because nobody was embarrassed. We were all asking the most basic questions and we felt it was, you know, a safe arena to do that. But I think it was more about the friendships that developed, really. You know, the basics you can Google at a push. But it was more about just finding that set of people that were going to be going through the same thing at the same time.
It's about finding a soulmate.
Yeah.
My mum always said to me, you need one soulmate when you're going through pregnancy and to carry you into the birth and afterwards. And if you've got that and you're set, you know, that one person that you can go and have a cup of coffee with or have a glass of wine or go for a walk to the park or talk about the colour of your child's poo, you know, somebody that really understands it. Because those the ones that have got 1.5-year-olds, their kids are asleep. They're not up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Hopefully.
And it's such a tiring period. I think your brain purposefully forgets bits of it that were really hard. So, you know, you can't have the same chats with people who are so, you know, they want to be there to help you and support, but actually they just simply don't remember what you're going through.
Now let's talk about being pregnant. How did you find your changing body?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved that there was no pressure to be slim. I loved I could eat whatever I wanted. But actually I was quite healthy because you're very conscious, aren't you, that you're feeding directly a new little baby. And so I was more healthy than I'd ever been. I continued to exercise a bit as well. So I stopped running or doing really any cardio at around 5 months, say. I stopped running probably about 4.
Pretty good going.
Yeah, that's great going.
You know, but I didn't find out I was pregnant until 9 weeks. So.
Oh, wow, 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't have long to your scan or anything
No. So it all happened quite quickly. But in terms of changing body, I know some people struggle with it and my best friend did. And I completely understand that because it is odd. It's as if somebody's taken over your body and you see it changing. And, you know, it is funny, isn't it? When you go, I've got this really weird, odd ridge now, you know.
Where my abs used to be.
Yeah, where my abs used to be. What was that about then? And, you know, towards the end, as you know now, Zoe, it's very hard. It's, you just can't get shoes on, and you know, that bit is difficult. But on the whole, I look back with immense fondness. I mean, Teddy made me feel super happy from the get-go. You know,
oh, that's so nice to hear.
Yeah,
and you didn't mind, you know, the boobs and the bump and the bum and
I was thinking, well, this is amazing. Yeah, because. If you look at it from kind of a, you know, if you're watching a Richard Attenborough or a David Attenborough documentary, and it's so fascinating what your body is able to do. And I just remember thinking, I'm so grateful that bits of me inside have worked together to make this possible. And yeah, okay, I mean, some nights I'd be looking at myself in a pair of knickers going, this is not good. This isn't good, is it? And, you know, one of these kind of just maternity bras, you know. I mean, I was really excited to underwired after a while.
Yeah.
You know, again. Were you? Yeah. I loved those like little cami bra things.
I did for a while, but then I was like, I need to get back into a proper bra here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to M&S the other day and I was like, look, I need a couple of maternity bras, because I'd obviously chucked them out, because, you know, in disgust after the first time. I'm like, never want to see these ever again. And then I was thinking, oh, shit, I actually haven't got any. And this lovely lady, this really lovely, she was from the Caribbean, and I was like, I'm just looking for, like, you know, a fairly sort of sexy maternity bra. She said, forget about sexy, it's all about the baby. And she pulled out these, they're like bolster holders, like I could put one of them on my head.
Oh no.
And I was like, I don't want to wear this, I really don't. Anyway, of course I bought two.
Of course.
And they're at home now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are for the comfy. Aftermath.
They are comfy. Yeah.
But you know, there were times when kind of, you know, when you're pregnant and you know, you become quite virtuous, you know. And I was like, I'm going home to bed and I'm going to drink a cup of tea and read a book. And I loved all of that about it. I just really liked the pressure not to have to be out, and it was lovely. And on the sort of rare occasions, Charlie would go out, and then I'd had a particularly bad day or something where you feel a bit grim about yourself and he'd come back and he was a little bit tipsy, and I'd be like, where have you been? You don't love me anymore. You've been out. He's like, oh, well, I've just been for a few pints. I'd be like, I know, but look at me. And then I'd follow him to the kitchen, and then I'd look at myself in the mirror and go, okay, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, waddling
back.
Get
the duvet back over me.
Did you find it being hard being in those social situations where everyone else is drinking and you're just sitting there looking over longingly, wishing you could be as well?
I guess at the beginning, you sort of go off alcohol, don't you? I didn't want anything. And then kind of past the halfway mark, you do start thinking, a little glass of wine would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'd have a sip of Charlie's with a meal and that would do me then. I'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're not really supposed to. Well, nobody really knows, but
general, I have been.
But, you know, I'd have maybe a glass and then I'd drink half it and that would be good enough. But actually, I think that was better because it just kept me happy enough to be out and socialising. Mm. You know, you don't want to feel like a complete kind of fun sponge.
Yeah.
I can't have anything. Just get me. If I was going to have one more lime and soda, I swear.
I know.
I became obsessed with fizzy water with lime in it. I couldn't get enough of it. It was really weird. Did you have any like weird cravings or anything like that?
I don't think I did have any cravings. Well, apart from apples, but I still eat a lot of apples and now Teddy loves apples.
They're really good for heartburn apparently as well.
Are
so
they?
Maybe that was like a subconscious thing going on.
Maybe it was, because really I don't think I had much heartburn, and maybe that's why.
Zoe's at the moment is carrots.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with carrots. I mean, I waddle down to the kitchen in the middle of the night. I've been asleep probably 2 or 3 hours and I'll just go to the fridge, get a carrot, and my husband can just hear me down the corridor back into bed with my carrot. He's like, you love carrots more than me. And actually at the moment it's true.
But thank God, carrots. I mean, it could be Mars bars.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you feel sexy when you were pregnant?
I mean, I want to say yes, because, you know, it's amazing. But no, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Only because I just couldn't be bothered, you know, after a point to make an effort. And so I'd be in the most grim underwear.
Yeah.
You know, we are talking chewing gum white here now. And
chewing gum white.
You know, it was all a bit grim. But I didn't, you know, no, I didn't. I mean, I wish I could say yes, but I didn't.
Do you think it's important, though, to keep that side of your life going? Because we have, my husband and I have endless discussions about this. He's obviously a rugby player, so there's a lot of changing room chat, and a lot of the wives and girlfriends are pregnant. And everyone has kind of different views on what you're still, like, I remember talking to my girlfriend the other day going, yeah, no, we had sex last night. This was like 10 days ago. And they're like, you're still having sex. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to, even though it's pretty functional.
You've got to try.
I think so.
I mean, it is a bit functional.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, you still need that closeness. Mm-hmm. And especially, I think, going into a period where your life is going to be turned upside down. I mean, you know, with you, it's going to happen again, where you go back to the beginning. And things are quite tough in the first sort of 6 to 8 weeks. So I think if you go into it with that closeness, you're a little bit more armed to deal with yeah. what's to come, is my theory. I mean, some days, I won't lie, I was just like, okay, let's just get this done.
How long will it take you from start to finish? You know, 4 minutes?
Let's just get this done. But at the same time, I think, you know, I appreciated the fact that we could still be us. Because you do feel like just something that's housing something else towards the end.
Yeah.
And you it's know. Nice to feel wanted when you're yeah. maybe not loving yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that someone still finds you attractive. That's actually lovely.
But I think, you know, I mean, Charlie was saying, I mean, Al, I love you as much now, if not more. So it's no different to me. And it's amazing. You can do this and I can't. And he's just going, I think that's pretty incredible. So, you know.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And yeah. obviously he was looking at you and thinking, you're growing my son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'd sort of have a little hug in bed and then Teddy would boot him in the back.
Get away.
There's a lot of that. He's like, get off. It's just me and Mama over here. Get over.
Then the pregnancy pillow comes down and, ooh, you don't need yeah. a husband.
No, they're the best divider. Thing ever.
Products that you absolutely swear by during pregnancy.
During pregnancy, I used Clarins oil. Now, a lady who had 3 sets of twins, and I met her in Glasgow.
Three sets of twins?
Oh, I know.
Oh, wow.
3 sets of twins. We were filming in their house in Glasgow. She was the most lovely woman. And they'd had a set of twins first, then they just wanted a third because they thought another one will be easy after having twins. And they fell pregnant with twins again. And then there was a gap of 8 years, and then they fell pregnant with another set of twins.
No.
How is your luck?
Oh.
Oh my god, that makes me feel sick.
Me too.
I mean,
I'm petrified.
It would have to be like Blood Brothers, where you literally give one away. But she was amazing, and she said, honestly, the only piece of advice I'll give you is Clarins oil on the bump every day.
Right.
I was like, well, if it's good enough for her.
Yeah.
So I went and bought it, and I went through about maybe 4 bottles during the entire pregnancy, but worked a treat.
Really good for stretch marks.
Yeah, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish you'd told me this 8 months ago.
Get it on now.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
A few days left. Yeah. So Clarins
okay. oil. I think it's called a sort of a body tonic or something, but that was amazing.
And did you take any supplements?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there taking everything you can imagine.
Yeah. Anything that said pregnancy on
yeah.
it. Yep.
Yeah. I took kind of, there was a set of vitamins with kind of 2 sets in the same box.
Pregnacare Max.
Pregnacare yes. Max. There you are. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I suppose lots of Nutribullets.
Yeah. Were you green juicing like an absolute lunatic?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Anything you can get, anything that's green in the fridge, you're like, I'll just put that in there. Broccoli. Celery. It's like, oh, yeah. This is disgusting.
Honestly, but I still hate them. Hate them. I mean, loads of people are like, oh, I love juice. And you're like, really? Liar.
Mine is now crunchy nut cornflakes and carrots. I've just, juicing's gone out the window. Now I'm just having what I really yeah. want.
I mean, your baby's cooked.
Yeah.
You're there. You're
yeah.
fine now.
Yeah. And I guess just to kind of wrap things up with where you are now. Now, obviously, Teddy's 14 months. Mm. Are you thinking about number 2?
Definitely.
You shook your head and said definitely.
Yeah. What is
that? I thought a knot was
it's
coming.
It's a Welsh thing. It's like now in a minute. Yeah, definitely. So we've had long discussions, but we think while we've got all the kit, I mean, it looks like mother care in our kitchen. Everything's lined up. And since everything's there, sleep is broken, we just think, let's just add another one to the mix here, hopefully, touch wood, and then we can all move on to the next stage
yeah,
together.
Get
that's
all
how
the
we're
hard,
thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? We don't know. I mean, hopefully it will happen like it did last time, but there's nothing to say that that'll be the case. And if it doesn't, then we have got an amazing little boy. But I really feel that our family is not yet complete.
Mm. Do you?
Yeah, you just get a sense, don't you, that there's just an opening for another little one.
Just so they can be little Bezos, little playmates as well. I see when my stepdaughter comes and she's with us, you know, Luna just lights up when Isla walks in the room, and her first words was Isla. And when she goes, oh, Isla. And it's just devastating. Yeah. I couldn't do that to her personally.
But. And it's you know, some people, especially at a certain age, kind of think that you shouldn't, you know, lots of people suffer miscarriages and all the rest of it in silence the second time around because mm-hmm. you don't feel you can say because you've already got one. But I think it doesn't matter what age you start your family, you still have a right to dream about what you saw and, you know, the setup that you imagined. And if it happens, great. And if not, but I think at least we're going to try.
Good.
Yeah,
we're going to try.
What a lovely point. I love that as well, because that's your vision of what you wanted for your family.
Yeah, so. And you can't help when you met the right one to start a family with. And sometimes it's later than you thought, but you've still got to go for it, I think, and try and, you know, match that sort of dream that you had, really.
I can't believe you're 40. You look about 20.
Oh, my God, honestly.
Seriously,
under
that
these
face.
Clothes, not so much.
The book, Winging It.
Yes,
Winging It.
Tell us. The book has got, it's a very honest and raw, candid account of my first year as a mum. I wrote it, I don't know even how, Zoe.
Have you done that?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote it kind of when he was between 5 and 9 months.
Wow.
But really, because I was in it, nothing there is written in hindsight. It's as it's happening. And so that's why now I'm kind of glad I did it that way, because it'll be a very, very real account for even us as a family to look back on when Ted's a lot older. There's controversial bits in there about relationship that we've been discussing this morning.
Yeah.
You know, when's too soon to have sex again? All of that sort of stuff. You know, the grim stuff. But, you know, it needs to be chatted about.
Of course it does.
How you feel postpartum, how the last chapter actually is what we've just discussed is, you know, when do you try again? Or, you know, how hard it can be the second time. Is it okay to admit that you still want another baby? And I think it is okay to say, yeah, that was the vision we had. So it's a lot of subjects that I feel I hadn't seen in a lot of baby books. It hasn't got basics in it, like how to wean and all that, because let's face it, I don't know. I still don't know, having done it. But it's got some people, experts in there as well, with proper advice. And then it's more kind of conversation starters, the rest of it. It's like a support group, I hope.
Well, you've only left one here, and it's in front of me, so sadly, Georgia, I'm taking it home.
I will send it on to me next time round. If
Georgia, I will post one to you.
Thank you.
It looks amazing. We can't wait to read it. You've been an absolute joy to chat to, and thank you so much.
Thank you,
Alex. So we are coming to the end of our first podcast, and what we're going to do each week is talk about our 5 favourite products that we literally can't live without. Obviously today we're talking about pregnancy, so the first one on my list, maternity brands, clothing brands that I'm absolutely loving at the moment, because it's become a big talking point
in my own head
to try and find brands that actually, clothes that actually make you feel, well, relatively okay.
Yeah, I mean, I loved H&M jeans. They were like my number one thing. I think I bought 3 different colours, and they, like, you know, went the whole way with me from about 12 weeks till the end. So
H&M we're absolutely loving for jeans. ASOS do fantastic range of maternity clothes, and you can kind of get something for every single, you know,
yeah, everything
that you're going to, a wedding, a work day, you know, a chill day with your husband, whatever it is.
T-shirts,
yeah, they're really good. ASOS are great. And also I've discovered this pregnancy an amazing website called 9 in the Mirror. So
ooh,
a little bit more luxe than ASOS and H&M. A little bit punchier, but basically these are designer non-maternity clothes.
Right.
And at each stage in the pregnancy, they split them up between 0 to 3, 3 to 6, and 6 to 9 months. You can wear, so if you want to go to a wedding and you want to wear a DVF dress,
yeah,
you can find DVF, click on the stage of pregnancy that you're at, and then you can see the model wearing it as a non-maternity dress, and then with the bump at the stage that you're at.
Wow.
So all of these clothes are normal clothes, but you can wear them during pregnancy.
That is incredible.
A bit more spenny, but really worth checking out. Love it. 9 in the Mirror.
I think this isn't a product, but it's in a, you know, it's an ingredient that's in a lot of things. Ginger. I think it's the only thing that can, you know, stop you from feeling sick. I used to love a smoothie from Joe and the Juice with lots of ginger in it. You can have ginger biscuits. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, Holland and Barrett also do really amazing actual chunks of ginger that you can eat to help with your nausea.
Yeah.
So yeah, get involved in the ginger vibes. Stretch marks are obviously a big talking point. Obviously going through the changes in your body. We absolutely love Kit and Kin. They're a fantastic brand. Emma Bunton is actually an ambassador. I think she might even be co-founder. They do some lovely products, but the stretch mark oil is amazing. So I'm like,
submerging myself in Kit and Kin stretch mark, and so far, touch wood, no stretch marks.
Another product that you absolutely need when you are pregnant is a pregnancy pillow. So there are lots out there, but I know the JoJo Mom on Baby one is amazing. You're using it at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the micro bean one. So it's sort of, well, how do I say it? It sort of molds itself to you. It's
lovely, super
comfortable, straight through the legs, up around the chest. You definitely need one of those.
Me and my husband used to fight over ours.
Who won?
Me, obviously.
And supplements.
Supplements, yeah. So Pregnacare is the obvious one. It's basically you take it every single day and it's got everything you need, from folic acid to
fish oils.
Yeah, just basically can keep your mind at rest,
yeah,
that you're getting all the nutrients that you need.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely key that you take supplements when you're pregnant, because baby, as it starts growing from bean to, you know, full bump, just saps everything from you. So the midwives push it on you for a reason. So definitely check out Pregnacare Max. We love them. And also Bump and Glory. They do a really amazing kind of fish oil. So yeah, you've got a couple of options. So that's it from us for this week. If you have liked what you've heard, remember you can subscribe, rate and review the podcast, and it kind of gets us out to more people. And you can find all of the products that we've spoken about on today's episode on the websites. Remember, you can get in touch with us as well, madebymamas.com, also via my Instagram at Zoe Hardman, and our Made by Mamas Instagram too. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.